This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Is DCR.
If you ask anyone that listens to the show, power rank bullies on the show, I would be number one.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
Yeah, you're number
one. By sheer size, Canty would be number two.
I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to put those suckers all over the place.
And everyone would be like, oh, no, Dave, innocent Dave.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
No, yeah, he's so nice.
Those are huge, fat people.
You're the biggest bully on the show.
I'm not a bully.
You know what it is, Chris? Since you got these puppies, the mood has completely changed with him.
If I could just open the door and let them out, I would. I would do it. Bye-bye. Have a good life.
This is DCR.
Did it give you hope that you could one day be in that chair?
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, you would look like an underwear model in that chair.
Oh, my God. Like Mark Wahlberg if they brought me up in that chair.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The big 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Buddy of mine says I am now the poster child for him not wanting to get a dog. Listen, I love dogs, but if you're getting a puppy, you're getting into one. He says that they are wearing him down, the kids and his wife, and he's on the verge. And every time, every morning he hears me discuss it, he's like, no, can't do it yet, can't do it yet. It is a burden. And if you really want to burden yourself and your family, get two.
Here's what I don't understand, Dave. Like, you've resisted this for so long, because I can't imagine this is the first time that the boys talked about wanting to have a pet or wanting to have a dog. So the fact that we've gone this long and you didn't get one, and then you finally broke down a couple of months ago and got them? Like, that's the part to me that's the biggest surprise.
It's very difficult for me if they really desperately want something and it's within reason to say no. Like, they're such good kids, and, you know, they're 10 and 14 now. So you get dogs, they last, you know, 10, 12, 14 years. I wanted them to be able to enjoy those dogs as they were still living in the house. So I relented. And it's a mistake that I have to deal with every morning at like 4:30.
Yeah, but I mean, just as far as the dogs that you got, I mean, you barely walk on a treadmill, and you got the most active dogs, and two of them.
Yeah, I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
And then, I mean, on top of that too, I mean, you got 14 and 10. So, I mean, in 4 years, one's out of your house. In eight, the other one's out.
That's right.
And now, because you take such great care of these dogs, you got another what? Seven?
Yeah.
Six, seven, 8 years?
Yeah. But by that point, it should be easy peasy, no? By the time
Well, no, but you're going to want to travel. I mean, you're empty nesting, and one of your kids is playing college sports. You're going to want to go travel to watch them play?
Yeah, but that's okay. We're going to have dog sitters.
But you could have done a better job. Maybe look up, like, okay, we'll get you a dog, but now all of a sudden, you know, behind the scenes, you and Sherry go on, like, life expectancies of dogs, and you pick the breed that kind of lines up. Like, maybe you get an English bulldog.
Such a morbid way of being able to
something
find
that's inbred. Something that's a blood condition. We adopt a dog that's already 6 years old. We welcome old Charlie into the house with a limp. Yes. That's the direction we go in. What a mistake by us. All right, 800-919-3776. I want to get back to the Yankees and the Stanton thing, and we will in just a moment. It boggles the mind that he can't DH when he's supposedly healthy, and we'll get there in a minute. But Ira in Staten Island has a call about these savage Philly fans. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you? And I know you guys will appreciate this. I have an older brother-in-law just turned 94, and they sent him a gift, sports gift, a book. We're talking about it, and he brought up what you guys were talking about over the last couple of weeks, the way fans, how they abuse players, and, you know, what happened in the NBA with the spitting or the popcorn and bottles, whatever the case might be. But the bottom line here is, as he was going through this book, he said, you know, back in the 30s and 20s and 40s, he says he used to go to games in Philadelphia, and he was a rabid Philly fan. But he said it was embarrassing what these fans in those days would do to their own players. I forget the guy's name, but he played center field for the Phillies. They used to throw bottles at him, and they used to, with the foul language, and it was endless. And so, you know, I wasn't born yet. You guys weren't born yet. And we're talking about what's going on now in Philadelphia. It's existed forever since sports has been professional. And, yeah, Philly fans are rough. But I will say, I mean, you're going to love this, Dave. I don't know how many games the Jets will win this year, but they are going to break the streak because they've never beaten the Eagles. And this will be the year that they do beat the Eagles.
Good. I hope you beat. I hope you hammer the Eagles. Is that a Week 17 game, by the way, or Week 18 game?
No, actually, they play Philly. I don't have the schedule in front of me. It's somewhere like in November, December. It's not the last game. They finish in Buffalo at the end of the year.
It's the extra game. Yeah, you're right, Dave. It's the extra game. I think Philly's the extra game, but it's not at the end of the season.
Oh, okay.
Because they have the division games at the end of the season.
But that's December 5th, RJ's telling me. But that's the game that they would not play if it was a regular 16-game season.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
That's the 17th.
Yeah, I would actually root for the Jets in that game.
Oh, I would. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Philly fans are disgusting, though, man.
Disgusting.
Like, I remember when I was playing, man, I had to make sure that one of my brothers went with my parents to all the Eagles games just because those fans, man, they're capable of anything. Like, they are literally capable of anything. I remember my rookie season, like, one of the fans in Philly poured beer on Clinton Portis's mom, and it was a really big deal. Like, I was just like, what? How could you do that? Like, I don't know, man. Philly, those fans are way out there, way out there.
That happened to Cassie in Philly at a Flyers game. We played the Flyers.
They're dumping beer on her head?
They dump beer on her, yeah. Then that was it. So I never let her go again.
That's terrible. I mean, really. You know how much I love my teams and what a savage fan I am. I would never do something like that.
No, of course not. Because, I mean, you're there to root on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not there to cause havoc.
No, and I'm there to be anti the other team as well. Like, if Philly comes to New York, I can't stand Philly, and I'll go after them. But I'm not going to go after the fans. I'm not going to start dumping beer on people's heads. This is terrible stuff. You wonder why
you have respect for human beings. Well, because you have respect for human beings. Like, I'm sure you respect their fandom, right? Like, they're crazy about their team. You're crazy. No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying Philly fans. I'm saying, if you go to a Giants game, and you got whatever team they're playing, their fans are rooting for their team.
Yeah.
So you respect the fact that they're fans of that team, and you're fans of the Giants.
I respect the fact that they love their team and that they're passionate about their club, but they take it way too far. All right, let's get back into this Stanton story. I mean, yes, I think the umpiring was horrendous, and I'm at the point, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, I'm ready for the electronic strike zone. I am. I think if they decide to do that heading into next season, I would have no issue with it at all.
Yeah, I don't understand the downside to doing that, Dave. Like, how is that a bad thing? Like, I get that there might be a little pushback from some of the players, especially the pitches, but I mean, I think overall it's in the best interest of the sport. Let's move things along. More pitches in the zone, which gives you a better chance of being able to have some action, guys being able to make contact, put the ball in play. Like, I don't understand the downside to having an electronic strike zone. Take away the subjectivity from the umpire on any given day. Make it even for both teams, and then we'll see where we're at. But I don't know, man. I just hate to have a game like that decided by the umps, because that's what it felt like yesterday. It really did.
Yeah, you ask why, though. I mean, there's going to be pushback from the pitchers. I mean, they're a game. Yeah, I mean, again, Cole's getting squeezed. Yarbrough loves it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, that's coming. That's happening. Like, Robo Umps is coming. And the strike zone's going to get modified.
I think it should.
And the strike zone's going to get modified, too. That's another step they're going to take.
And I got to tell you, how many times do you watch a game? By the way, this is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. How many times do you watch a game? And I think it's actually, I like it, but I think it makes the umpires look bad, where they have these you know, electronic or these strike zones where
K-zones.
They have a box.
Yeah,
the K-zone. And now you see a pitch that goes right down the middle, and it's a ball. Or a pitch that's not even close, and it's a strike. It's just a bad look.
Well, but you got to also say, like, they're getting graded on that, too. Like, you're watching those. They get graded after each game on their strike zone.
Yeah, but that's going to be the next step. It doesn't seem like it makes a whole hell of a lot of difference in terms of their performance.
But it's a hard job. I'm not saying it's not difficult, but, I mean, my God.
I don't disagree with you. And if I was a Yankees fan, I'd be frustrated too. What happened yesterday? Mm-hmm. If I was an Aaron Judge fan, I'd be frustrated with some of the strikes that get called on him.
Yeah,
because it does screw you up. Because I mean, you're talking about a Yankees team that prides themselves on knowing the strike zone, and it has a trickle down effect. If all of a sudden now, you know, you're calling a pitch that's not in the strike zone, a couple inches off the plate, I got to adjust to that. So now I got to expand the zone.
And Yarbrough was living on that corner, wasn't he?
Oh my God, living
on that corner.
The thing that frustrates me so much is I can deal when there's a strike zone, the, like, you know what, he's giving them the outside corner. What frustrated me, and I'm not even a Yankees fan, obviously, is that one team was getting it and the other team wasn't. Like, if you're going to be, you know, give extra room in one way or the other, at least be fair to both teams. It felt like it wasn't fair to the Yankees yesterday.
That's all I want is consistency.
That's right.
I mean, that you establish early. Like, okay, I mean, even hitters know going into games because it is. I mean, it's each umpire has a different strike zone. You know, some umpires have a higher strike zone, some have a lower strike zone, some inside.
Which is ridiculous. But
people are fine. Like, guys are fine with that if they know going in that it's going to be consistent. Like, no going in, couple inches off the plate, that's going to be a strike. So now I know. Like, Gerrit Cole will know, okay, this is going to be a strike, this isn't going to be a strike. But, Dave, you're right. If you know, one side's getting it, the other side isn't, or in that, my favorite is when they're giving both sides of the plate. Like, that's my favorite. I couldn't even imagine trying to be a hitter when they're giving both sides of the plate.
Right. The guys are throwing 97, you know, on
with
the
crazy
black,
movement
because
they got Gorilla Glue on the baseball.
Right. And then it goes outside the black, and they're still getting the call. So Aaron Boone got ejected because of this yesterday. Here is the Yankees manager on his ejection.
I just thought some things, you know, expressed some things and got run. So I wanted to just get my point across. You know, I thought there were some close pitches, but, you know, the Rays outplayed us today.
What point? It was funny, brother. Yeah, you know. What point were you trying to get across, Aaron Boone?
Well, I just had some disagreements throughout the day with them, and got run, obviously, when I went out to the mound, and probably said some things that can't get away with, and so that's about it. That's about the gist of it.
It didn't matter at that point, and that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. But I don't blame him for being livid. I mean, the umpiring was all over the place yesterday.
Well,
but in that moment, too.
He's doing what he's got to do, though, as a manager, right? He's got to stick up for his guys. He's got to try to defend his guys. I mean, I can imagine how frustrated they are in the dugouts and all of those conversations, you know, all the work that goes into putting together a game plan and being able to get at Yarbrough. Like, I can understand him getting thrown out of there even though the game was already decided at that point. Like, it makes sense to me. Like, he needs to be seen as the guy that's going to stick up for his players.
But it was that moment. I mean, that was the moment of the game. When it was that, it's more like when the umpire was at his worst, and it was the most glaring, was in the moment the Yankees needed him not to be the most.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fourth inning when you had a chance. I mean, you're down 2-1, you got second and third, no outs.
That's right.
And Odor already flies out, so now you got Frazier, and it's, I mean, the strike zone was awful. It completely changes everything. Instead of walking, so you got, you know, now you got a bases loaded, one out, it turns into second and third, two outs, and they end up getting nothing.
They got nothing.
And then the following inning is when the game...
You don't get a run.
Well, you don't get a run, and then the following inning, that's when the wheels fell off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ends up 5. Before you blink, it's 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole game changes. The whole feel of the game changes.
Well, the game is over at that point.
The way Yankees score runs, yeah. I mean, if you score 5 runs in the Yankees...
Yeah, it's done.
You're going to win the game. Yeah.
You have the game locked.
I looked this up, Rico, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it. The Yankees have the second worst differential in the division right in front of the Orioles.
Really?
Could not believe it. Could
well,
not
they don't
believe
score
it.
Runs.
Well, that's where they're at. I mean, that's right. I mean, I think they're just above the Orioles in runs scored. Like, barely.
Or tied
with them.
The Yankees are +4 in run differential. The Boston Red Sox, who are third in the division, they're +44.
Well, I mean, the Yankees pride themselves on on-base percentage and slugging percentage, which is OPS. Right now, they're 20th in baseball. That's not, I mean, that's not where they need to be if they have any chance or hope of winning the division and winning a World Series.
11 straight games or 5 runs or less for the Yankees. 11. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And then you get to the Stanton story. I just, at this point, I throw my hands up in the air. I don't understand. He DHs, you bring him off the IL. You assume that he can at least play, and he can't. So did you bring him off too early? And I know you'll hear, well, this was a scheduled day off. Well, it's in a very important game, and he just was off 2 days earlier, and all he does is DH. I mean, how can you not be at the end of your rope if you're a Yankees fan right now with this?
Oh, especially with the matchup, though, too, right? That's what frustrated me the most. Is, yeah, he's a DH. We're paying him a ton of money. He comes back, plays a game, then you sit him. And then, I mean, it's like, okay, it's going to be something you have to live with, but, I mean... It's an important game. You get a chance to win the series, right? Instead, I mean, it feels you played all. I mean, you didn't play great, and you still had a chance to win the series.
Yeah.
Now
yep.
It feels like, yeah, whatever. You split it.
But here's the thing, and we say it all the time. You got to adjust expectations. If I told you going into the series, you're 2-2 against Tampa, I don't think you freak out. But if I tell you you're 2-1 heading into game four and it's Garrett Cole against Ryan Yarbrough, you expect to go 3-1 in that series.
Yeah, I guess that's the disappointment of it, Dave. When you have your ace on the mound, you just felt like this is one of those where we're supposed to come out and try to get this series win. Like, it would feel good going into the Red Sox series this weekend if you were coming off of beating the division rival, the Rays, who have owned the Yankees the last few years. Like, it would be, to me, that would be huge. I mean, there's a big difference between being 2.5 games back from the division lead and being 4.5 games back. And that was yesterday. And so not having that opportunity, knowing that you're not going to play the Rays again until late July, it just felt like yesterday's game was a missed opportunity. And you hate it.
I mean, the Rays haven't had a complete game in over 700 games?
Yeah, which is what? Now we're talking about four or five years?
And somehow the light-throwing lefty has this complete game yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing that pisses me off the most.
They would have kept him out there for 150 pitches. Like, that was his game.
Yeah, I mean, there was no action in the bullpen. I mean,
nope.
He was up right by where, I mean, he was up over 100 pitches. There was nothing going on in the bullpen.
And it's not like he has overpowering stuff either.
But that's why I don't understand why Stanton's on the lineup. He should feast off a guy like that.
Stanton should beg. He should say, put me back on the IL. If you're not going to play me, then put me back on the IL. It is ludicrous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think we'll get to see Stanton against the Red Sox?
He better be, Dave. That's all I can say. I mean, what else are you paying a guy for? It's not like he's a position player where he's got to be out in the field. You're just asking him to DH. I don't understand it. Like, I get having a plan and wanting to make sure that you build in rest days for certain guys, but this is getting ridiculous.
It's absurd. First of all, he's been horrendous since he's come off the IL. So he didn't play on Tuesday, and he got an at-bat, right? Then he doesn't play at all on Thursday. Rick, you mentioned it in the pre-show meeting. They're off on Monday. The guy, I mean, all he has to do is go up there and take an at-bat and occasionally run the bases. And he can't even do that?
And here's the thing, though. I'm sure Aaron Boone would want him in the lineup as much as humanly possible. I don't know. This is what I don't know. Because, I mean, it would make sense, right? Like, the matchup, Yarbrough, I mean, what Stanton does against lefties, especially like throwing lefties, like, if I'm Stanton, I want to be in the lineup. So that leads me to believe, is it the training staff that kept him out? Or is this Stanton saying, you know, my body doesn't feel great right now? Because I can't think of another reason why you would have him not play in that game. It doesn't make any sense. It's DH.
It makes no sense. And you know what? If his body doesn't feel okay,
why don't
they take
him
off the IL?
Yeah, shut him down.
Well, but here's
again.
The other thing, though, too. Just think about that game last night, right? Okay, you guys already know going in that I'm not a huge Clint Frazier fan, right?
Yes.
Not a huge fan.
Yes.
Did you see what he did last night? Where he tries, or yesterday afternoon, where he decides that with two outs, he's going to go with the old Deke as if I'm going to catch the fly ball.
Yes, I saw that. That was ridiculous. I saw that.
Like, what are you doing? There's two outs. There's two outs. Everyone's
that.
Running. Crack of the bat, you're running. You doing the Deke isn't going to work on anybody but yourself.
No.
And he makes a bad throw home. Here's the point, though, Dave. If Aaron Judge is playing in right field.
That's an out at home plate.
I don't think they're sending Zunino. I don't.
I completely agree with you.
So, again, it makes it
yeah,
because
a trickle
you're forced
down effect.
On, but if you're if now because Stanton can't be in the lineup, you're forced to put Judge at DH, which is good for keeping Judge
but you're
healthy.
But you're not forced to do that. You look at it as there's an opportunity to use Judge. You could put Judge in right field and Frazier at DH.
But again, it's two of your most important players that haven't been able to stay healthy. So if I don't have Stanton,
put Judge and give him the half day off.
But now you have that option, right? So you're going to take that option. If Stanton can't go, I'm going to take the option to give Judge the half day off. But if Stanton is available, guess who's in right field? Aaron Judge.
That's right.
So, I mean, and he's a much better defender in right field than Clint Frazier.
It's not even
Clint Frazier.
Let's go to Brandon in Wausau. Good morning, Brandon. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to make a point that I really think Garrett Cole is underperforming his big contracts. It's extremely sad. And they need to wrap Stanton in bubble wrap and send him to AAA. I'm also very irritable because my Lakers lost last night and I'm on my way to work. And I just want to hear your thoughts, though. Thank you.
I don't know how you could look at Garrett Cole as a failure or as
no,
overrated.
No. Garrett Cole is everything we thought he'd be when they gave him that contract.
He's a horse.
He's lived up to that. He's the ace of the staff. Like, the Yankees pitching staff would be lost without Garrett Cole. Like, I'm not going to sit here and start criticizing him just because he had one bad outing. But what I will do is continue to criticize the Yankees lineup because they're not producing. They're not scoring runs. I mean, we got 11 straight games of scoring less than 5 runs. At some point, something about that has to change. And Stanton being out of the lineup doesn't help matters. If he's hurt, then put him on the IL. If he's not, then put him in the lineup.
Then play him. If you're active, I expect you to play.
Yeah, but you keep saying that. Yeah, that's what you would like to think, but that's not the case with him. You can't. They can't. They cannot.
Then put him on the IL. Rick, he couldn't play Tuesday. He can't play Thursday. Put him back on the IL then.
Yeah, but he can play apparently. Like, I would imagine. Play him.
Then play him.
They can't. They don't feel comfortable. Or he doesn't feel comfortable right now.
Then put him back on the IL.
They don't want to keep Mata. I mean, that's not the two options. That's ridiculous.
So the third option, really? But the third option is to play him on a Monday and not on a Tuesday and not on a Thursday and pinch hit him here?
That's their plan.
Well, that's a ridiculous plan.
Well, I don't like it either. But yeah, this is where you're at. You're stuck with it. For the next 6 years, this is what you're stuck with. You traded for a guy that's strictly a DH, and you can't stay healthy as a DH. That's an issue. It's a real issue, making that much money.
He's so fragile. I mean, how you have the audacity to call and go after Garrett Cole when your high-priced designated hitter can't even give you 3 or 4 at-bats a game consistently? It's just, I mean, all
pitching
Cole
is
does.
Not the problem with the Yankees. That's not the problem. The pitching has been great. I don't understand why you want to call and criticize the pitching. The pitching has been really, really good for the Yankees. It's just that the offense can't score runs. It's going to be hard to win baseball games when your offense can't score runs. This team was built off of being able to score runs, extra base hits, home runs. They're not doing any of that.
Uh-oh.
You know what's hurting you right now, too? And I'm not going to – this is not me blaming him, but it definitely affects your team right now, is that DJ LeMay, who's not the same player he was last year.
He is not.
No. No.
And he's the one – I mean,
he had a couple of chances yesterday, too.
Well, but he's – I mean, he's he's what makes your lineup go. I mean, he's the one that gets things started for you. And then in big moments, like runners in scoring position, he's been the best in baseball over the last couple of years. And he hasn't been so far this season.
No. But again, look at the bottom of that lineup. The Yankees were always 6, 7, 8, 9 better than anybody. And it's just not the way it is right now.
There's not enough length right now.
That's
you're not wrong.
That's
I mean, listen,
problem.
You're not wrong. I mean, that's another game, too. 0-7 with runners in scoring position. They're right now. We thought the strength of the team would be the offense and the bullpen. Bullpen has lived up to expectations.
Sure has.
Starting pitching has surprised us, and right now your offense is...
It's bad.
Also
it's
surprising, bad. In a bad way.
In a bad way. And on top of the fact, here's the best part. Here's the best part. Is the only reason that you sacrifice, like the way this team was built, right, is that you sacrifice, you know, speed, athleticism, base running, and defense is because your lineup...
You can smash the ball.
But when that's not happening, and you still can't run the bases.
Right. Now you
and your
can't
fielding's
run the
not great.
You're the worst base running team in baseball. You don't hit the ball. You can't play guys consistently. The bottom of your lineup is a disaster. The guys you're counting on haven't been what you thought they would be. You wonder why they can't hit and can't score runs.
I looked at it the other day. They had the stat. I think it was, I had it written down downstairs. I think it was the 55th different lineup in 56. At the time, it was 56 games. The Yankees' 55th different lineup in 56 games.
That is unbelievable.
In a sport that's based on, like, it having the
you
having
play
the
every day
a consistent lineup every yeah. single day,
every single day, it's amazing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
It doesn't have the same juice, though. I don't think.
I'll juice it up with some good questions, but no. I mean, I ran away with this thing. A three-game lead. It's over.
Is it 7-4-4 or no?
Yeah. Ugh. And I was in last place until this run.
Now, it only goes 2 more weeks or 3 more weeks?
I think it's 3 more weeks,
3 more
right?
weeks, yeah.
3 more, RJ?
I believe this is among the last go-arounds. because that
this
would,
is the last go round. Yeah,
yeah, because everyone goes one more time, unless we, it could go if Dave, but then it would be you going one more time than everyone else. So we can do that if you want to go right through the month of June. But if we want everyone else to go one more time, then we're in the last go rounds. But we
so,
can do whatever
so
you like.
It's Rick, Chris, me, and then that's it for the summer.
Yes, the production staff will take the summer off, and we'll come back in the fall.
Strong
perhaps.
In the fall, though.
If we get picked up, yeah. I mean, we have to, you know, see how the executives feel about the job that was done.
DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris, you care about second, though, right? You don't want to come in last place. And
yeah, I just don't want to be last, Dave. I mean, ideally, you want to finish first, but I don't want to be behind you.
That's pretty much how it's been.
Because the word on the street is that you don't pay attention, you don't listen to either one of us. So it's just I don't want to be behind the guy that doesn't listen to his teammates when we're doing the show.
But first of all, I think this is completely unfounded. We had a week where we had to go to five
overtimes.
Saying,
that's the word on the street, Dave.
Five overtimes. Last week, I did the questions for you, and you still went like 1 for 5. So I don't know. I think the word on the street is very misguided.
But this is what the streets are saying. The streets are talking, and that's what they're
the
saying.
The streets are talking. The mean streets of New York City are saying that.
Let's face though. We start talking about get to know your co-host, NFL picks. I mean, it's really you two guys fighting for second place anyway.
Ooh, hanging on the rim. Listen
well,
to
really
him.
You really are chatty today,
listen
huh?
to him.
You got a lot to say.
Cash money. He sounds like Clint Capella almost.
Yeah.
A little chatty. You are.
You know what I used yesterday? You know what I used yesterday? Like Cassie's at a point now. Like the last couple days, she's just been. I mean, some of the stuff come out of her mouth is just it's crazy talk. Like she didn't. Like she's using words that. Like, have no, like, she's taking two words and making them one word. It's,
like
it's
what?
Hilarious.
Give me an example.
I don't, there was one the other day that was
came
so funny.
Savin?
No.
Did she use Savin?
No, but it was like, it's not even a word like that. It's like she's, like, almost like ipso facto. Like, she had, like, words like.
Latin.
She said something, but I actually used one of your words.
My words.
Day, I'm like, that's quite the word salad you put together.
A Savin veteran.
It's a great phrase, the word salad.
Yeah, when you used it the first time, I almost lost it. It was so perfect. It was so perfect that I was like, God, that was a really good way to use word salad right there.
Look at that. Look at me.
Yeah, so I mean, now you're creeping into the home life, which is a problem for me right now.
Yeah, well, listen, that's what happens. Diana, I have been lurking, and now I'm lurking in your home. I see what's going on.
Why don't you gift Diana a puppy to make amends? It's a nice home. You know what I mean?
Why
like
don't you get them like a turtle or something? Get the dogs a turtle? That'll ever get old. I don't know. What's better? That or when he can't come up with the word counter?
Counter. Yeah. Counter.
You know when
better.
You go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
That, I'm telling you, it never gets old. I can hear that on a loop all day. And he says it with such conviction. You know when you go to the diner and they have that flat top thing? What's that called? Like, he's so adamant, Chris.
Yeah, I don't understand how you don't come up with the word counter.
The fact that he came it's up like, with flat top and not counter.
You know how you go in a room and there's that thing you sit on? It's just kind of like it's... like
you know that... Yeah.
It's like the it's one
the,
of those.
The backrest. What do they call that thing?
Exactly.
A chair?
I don't understand it.
Alarm, great, stove, though. Refrigerator, freezer.
That's a CTE moment, Dave. I'm just willing to chalk
Speaking
that up
of which,
to,
I was all confused CTE. This morning. I thought someone broke into the house this morning.
Oh, God.
No, I seriously did because I went through the whole room. Like I told you, I was pretty much like up. I was up the whole night, but I didn't intend to be up the whole night. So I went through my whole routine before I got back. To watching the games.
I got
to
go in and see if the other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
Check, closed. Like, lights were off. Like, I start rustling around this morning to get ready, and all of a sudden I'm looking around, and there's, like, there's different lights that I knew, that I thought I shut off. I had to go check the alarm and make sure the alarm was still on. I'm like, I think someone broke in the house.
You come on. You really believe someone broke into the home?
Dave, every single night I do the exact same thing and make sure every certain thing is done and off. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm even going down the basement to make sure that the basement door and everything is locked. And there was stuff that I never, maybe I was just so, I was so out of it last night with what happened with the Islanders that I forgot, but I usually always remember. And stuff, I think things were changed up, freaked me out.
So you had a moment.
And you know how I react to stuff like that. The one time where the alarm, like, Cassie's dad didn't close the door enough. Like, typical Cassie's dad, I guess. Like, worse than my kids. So the door, the wind blows, door swings open, and now the alarm goes off. So I'm rolling around with the high heel, like I'm gonna hurt somebody with Cassie's high heel.
I told you about my awful story when we were living in Raleigh, right? It's just an awful story. So we're fast asleep, middle of the night, and in the den downstairs, the TV pops on.
Oh.
And I'm fast asleep. And when I'm sleeping, I don't want to be disturbed. I like to nap. And Sherry wakes me, and she says, the TV just went on downstairs. Go check it out. Now, she might be, I don't know, 6 months pregnant at the time. And I said, come on. I said, you go check it out. She's like, I swear to God, if you're going to send me down to check to see if someone's down there. And I said, so we had this conversation. It must be 3:15 in the morning, which used to sound very early. And now it sounds like, hey, look, listen, you slept in. So I said, you want me to go down? She said, you go down. I said, are you kidding me? I said, I was fast asleep. She says, I'm 6 months pregnant. I said, you think that a burglar broke into the house and turned on the television and is watching on the couch down there? So I grab she used to work at the Garden Rink, and she got a Jaromir Jagr signed hockey stick that's in my closet. I go into the closet, I take the hockey stick, I go downstairs, the dog had jumped onto the couch, onto the remote, turned the TV on, and that's what was happening. But I wanted to send her down to take care of this.
I mean, if it was a burglar, by the time y'all finished the conversation, they would have came and went and got what they came for.
But, I mean, could you imagine that? Can you imagine you're a burglar and all of a sudden you accidentally turn the TV on?
Time out. First of all, no. There's been plenty of stories on DHIF about, you know, people breaking into places and making themselves, you know, dinner.
Right
at
home.
Having a couple beers and falling asleep and getting caught. If Dave Rothenberg was a burglar, right, because he went back to D-Gen Dave, and his gambling problem got out of control.
Burglar, by the way,
the drug habit got out of control.
The drug habit, yes.
Well, you look more like the Hamburglar now.
Life is so good.
You go to a house, and somehow, some way, you missed one of your favorite team's games.
No,
you definitely turn the TV on to check the highlights. Guaranteed.
No, come on. Guaranteed. There is no way I would burgle a house. There is zero chance I would burgle a house, and that as I'm taking stuff and looking through, like, the china and the silver and all that stuff, that I'm going to turn on and be like, ooh, Sports Center. Let me take a notice of this. No,
like that kind of party.
Chance.
Dave, did you just invent a word? Burgle?
Is that not a word?
I thought it was burglarize. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're definitely right.
I'm wrong. I was like, man, maybe I messed up. I'm sitting here thinking about it because we're talking about CTE moments.
But
like,
it should be a word. It's a great word. I thought he meant
I thought he meant the fun snack, the bugle.
Right? Burgle.
I love the word burgle.
If you burgle.
Burgle a house.
Burgle a house.
That's like if you burp and gurgle at the same time, you burgle.
By the way, entering a building illegally with intent to commit a crime, especially theft, burgle. Our
right, house
about,
Chris,
in London,
you see what just happened there? Chris,
has
right there,
been
that was,
burgled.
That right there, how quick he just did that. The stealth, like, you can't even tell he was typing anything.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's like, what he that does is, on Stunt Rothenberg.
Yeah,
he
you know what I'm
saying? Oh, look at what has happened. Both of you can drive off a cliff.
That's what
you
I'm saying.
You just challenged the knowledge that I have of this English language. Beautiful, brilliant, sensational. And that's the take you have? Burgle is a word.
What do you got, 6G at your place? I never see that. How fast is your internet?
Just he gave pop it to right me up quickly, so I was very appreciative of that. Burgle, B-U-R-G-L-E. It's a verb, and it's from British origin. Take it.
I had never heard burgle used until about 2 minutes ago.
But don't
never
you see what
it.
I do for you guys? You now are smarter today than you were before the show.
I'm going to have to add burgle to
risers,
the t-shirt, I think.
Right? It needs to
work.
Be a part of the show.
I'm going to have to go ipso facto. I'm going to need Savin. Burgle. I'm even Lord Pierce may get thrown on there too.
The Hawks when they were coached by Lord Pierce.
Pierce.
There is zero chance I would burgle a house.
I don't believe that for 1 second. There's not 0%.
RJ, look it up.
I want Vegas odds. Go right now. Give me William Hill. Odds that Dave would burgle a house.
I would never burgle a house. Although I think I'd be excellent. I think if one of the three of us could go and burgle a house, it would be me.
Because it would be easy for Chris at his size to just go.
Chris would do well.
300-pound cat burglar.
Exactly right.
But I would tiptoe in. I would would go after the good stuff, get out of there.
Yeah, you'd be like one of the wet bandits from Home Alone.
Have you heard of the
mole? Leave the water
people?
Running in?
Yeah.
Now I have fractured glass in my rear.
What did he steal? He stole some lube and a thermometer. I don't know what he was.
Were we burgled? We were burgled. Now I have fractured glass in my rear. It's a British verb. That's right. I love it. Burgle. You guys are laughing at me. Did you just
check out your
the thermostat there, Bubbles? What do you got? No, I did not invent a word. In fact,
by the way, speaking of burgle, too. Mm-hmm. Mayor of Easttown finished it.
And? Great, right?
Dude, did you watch it yet?
I have not yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you finish the entire season in 2 days?
Nah, three.
Well, it's only three days. How many episodes is it? It's only seven, right?
Seven, right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you know who's in
lot.
That? Kate Winslet, I heard, is in that.
Yeah, she looks just like Nicole Kidman, I heard.
I've heard that as well, yeah.
Yeah, especially since Nicole Kidman can't show emotion anymore because her face is so tight.
I bet if someone burgled her home, she would show emotion.
No, you wouldn't even be able to tell.
No?
You can't even tell when she's crying. I think she took out her tear ducts.
Well, that's not good.
Have you seen? Google what her and Keith Urban look like right now.
Plastic?
Skin is very, very tight, yes.
Who's she married to? Keith Urban?
Keith Urban, yeah. It's an interesting couple.
She was with Tom Cruise for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, yeah. No, they look very plasticky.
Oh, yeah.
Very plasticky.
Very.
That's what Mickey's trying to look. That's what my mother's trying to look like.
I don't want to continue this. It's very uncomfortable when you do this. I don't like it, and I'm not going to allow this anymore.
Well, whose fault is it? Mine or hers?
Yes. It's bad enough that she does it, but for you to bring it up at the drop of a hat I can't sign off on this. Guest on DCR, the Goodyear Hotline. DCR presented by Progressive's Home Insurance.
I'm helping her.
Quote at progressive.com.
Yeah, I looked it up, Rico. That's a bad look. Very bad look.
Oh, yeah. Like this is like lots of work, man.
Oof.
Like it's just a little bit. You don't need all of that. Just a little bit.
Would you ever have plastic surgery?
It depends on what kind of plastic surgery.
Not like fixing a scar, but
like
but
a
I
mini
mean, like,
facelift or something.
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that either.
Yeah, I've had enough surgeries. I'm not going to have elective surgeries.
Although
I'm
strongly considering dyeing my hair.
I think you look good with the salt and pepper. Nah. What do you? Oh, by the way, timeout. Here's another. Let me take a 20-second too. I got a text. Right. I got a tweet yesterday. Now the Untucked podcast has the Untucked shirt as a sponsor.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring Untucked to the DCR program at all?
Well, I don't understand. They want to be involved in my podcast. How this is a bad thing for me?
All right, I don't even think they had a choice. You named it. I mean, you pretty much knocked off the name.
They love the podcast. They want to be involved, and they're sponsoring it. If they want to sponsor DCR, I would love for them to do that.
I mean, you know, Dave, there's no chance. I mean, you go out and sell it. Like, can we package the two together? Like, hey, you know, we love that you want to be on Untucked, but I mean, really, like the main job is DCR. And we could do a segment when you get Untucked.
But here's what I would say to that. Is it my responsibility to sell DCR or is it other people that are full-time employees at ESPN that are supposed to go out and sell DCR?
Well, if you know those other people aren't going to go out and sell DCR, then shouldn't you take it upon yourself?
That feels like a rhetorical question you just asked.
Here's the plan. Let me really get the relationship in a good place, make them feel comfortable, and then I'll try to bring them over from the Untucked podcast over here, the DCR.
Have they sent you shirts yet?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. Beautiful shirts.
I want to know who's in charge of this whole thing, because this can't be just you. There has to be a mastermind.
No, it's not. All I do is host it. That's it. I'm the host, and it stops there. There's a full team. There's more people that work on my podcast than there are that work on this show.
You got hair and makeup, too, right? Don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is unbelievable.
It's a three-camera setup. They built the set. They have a sales team. They have interns. They have a makeup guy. They have, I think, four producers. They have an executive producer. They just hired a booking agent. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into the podcast.
Now, where is the setup at? Is this close to your house?
Yeah, about 15 minutes. It's in Westchester.
That is a nice set. I did notice that is a nice set.
Yeah.
I don't see any DiPietro stuff on that set.
Send some over.
Or Canty stuff.
Send some over. Well, I don't have any DiPietro and Canty stuff. Now,
you have a Humaniora jersey hanging back there. You could easily put a Canty jersey back there.
But I had the Humaniora
jersey. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you what. If you guys, and I'm sure you have more than enough extra paraphernalia at the homes, send me that stuff. It will be on the Rothenberg Untucked podcast set. Next episode, guaranteed.
Okay. All right.
Guaranteed.
All right.
I'm not kidding.
What about a sexy photo? Would you hang up a sexy photo? Like if I did like a semi, like a semi nude,
like the Seinfeld when George is giving them to the Photoshop? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Rick Tasteful. In a picture showing a little bit of his cleavage.
Yeah, yes. Like I'll get the taco meat out. Maybe the little
in an Islanders jersey, obviously. Or maybe just you in an Islanders jersey and nothing on the bottom, something like that. Might be really spice up the set.
That could get dangerous though.
Yeah, could. Possible. All right, let's go. Let's get to know our co-host.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is oh my God.
All right, here we go, fellas. As the next 3 weeks become the consolation version of Get to Know Your Co-host.
Am I right, by the way? Is it 744, RJ?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's too bad for you. It's unfortunate.
This should be
really.
A double, Chris. Don't you agree that the winner of this should get 2 points?
No. Yeah, we should try to build some drama for this thing. Yeah, exactly.
You can't handle double. Let's focus on trying to get all these questions right. Let's see if you can go back to getting, you know, going 5 for 5, 7 for 7.
Yeah. Yes,
I don't want the double plow today.
I don't know who doesn't sign up for the double plow. I mean, that seems like a gift
to some.
You should have seen the look of disgust. They came over yesterday to, of course, because it's raining out. Like, why would you cut the lawn when it's raining out? And I got the guy who weighs, you know, 350 on the riding lawnmower just. Just
and now
track.
Oh, so you got donuts in your lawn. Sit in the chair.
Oh, dude, donuts. Oh, yeah, it doesn't even look like a lawn anymore. It looks like a rally car track. You should have seen. So, I find Dave. You know how much you guys both know how much mulch costs.
Yes.
So I finally get beautiful. It's beautiful mulch, but every time I get mulch, they come over with the blowers and they start blowing the mulch all over the place.
Yeah.
So I went out yesterday and I said, "Hey, can you do me a favor today, please? Because the mulch just got put down. Could you not use the blowers?" You should have seen the look of disgust on his face when I asked him to not use the blowers. He's like, well, what are we going to do with the grass? I said, well, could you use a broom or something? No, we can't do that. I was like, you know, just leave the grass. It's going to rain anyway. Please, don't blow the mulch all over the place. He's like, all right, if that's what you want. I was like, yeah, that's what I want, all right? Amazing.
Can we get to getting to know your co-host?
Well, you just got to know a little bit about me right there.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, yeah. My God.
Don't give me the blowers.
All right,
here we go. First question. I left Boston for the U.S. program in Michigan for my A, sophomore year,
oh, God.
B, junior year, or C, senior year.
All right.
I left Boston for Michigan, A, my sophomore year, B, my junior year, or C, my senior year.
I know it's not one, and now I'm choosing between the other two. I'm ready to go. I got it.
I almost actually threw in a second part of that question. The billet kids hid naked where? The answer to that question would be in the drawers and closet of the bathroom.
Wait. The children can get into drawers?
Yeah, the two little children were in the drawer. Like, yeah, in the cabinet in the drawer, and the other one was in the closet,
that
naked,
was some
waiting for me to go take
there,
a shower.
Huh? That was some house.
And then they took the poor young kid. He called himself, it was Tony, but he could only say Choney. They took Choney. And they had a sheepdog. They tied the leash of the sheepdog around Choney's wrist while he had rollerblades on. And the poor kid was getting dragged around the streets.
Sounds like it was a really healthy environment. Question two.
My grandfather on my dad's side appeared on what show? The Ed Sullivan Show, Candid Camera, or The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
I've never been more confident in an answer than I am in this one.
I could see that look in your face. I could see the twinkle in your eye.
Oh, do I feel good about that one. Chris, do you know that one?
Yes.
Oh, too bad.
All right, here we go. Question number three. On my wedding night, I slept where? A, the floor, B, the shower, or C, the bed?
Mm-hmm.
Give me them again.
A, floor, B, shower, C, bed.
All right. I know it's not one. Go ahead.
All right, question number four. Pete, Such, and I would occasionally do what in our neighborhood? A, we would go clicking. B, we would go toilet papering. Or C, we would ring people's doorbells and run.
What is clicking, by the way?
Clicking is when you take a universal remote control and change people's channels.
Okay. And what are the other two?
That's A. B is toilet papering, and C is ring and run.
Okay. And all of the above is not an option for me here?
I was going to throw light poop on fire, but I knew you guys would know that one immediately.
All right.
Which was unsuccessful, by the way. I really enjoyed, though, when they gave away free toilet paper for some reason in the neighborhood, and it was about the time of the Olympics, so we made Olympic torches with the toilet paper.
Wait, hang on a minute. What do you mean they gave away free toilet paper?
They were doing some kind of thing where every house got a free roll of toilet paper. It was like an advertisement.
They went from home to home dropping off one roll of toilet paper?
Yeah, one roll of toilet paper.
You live in a very interesting place. So we took the toilet paper,
and we put it on a cut-up hockey stick, and we had the Olympic torches. All right, final question.
Yeah.
It took me how many days to name Milo after leaving the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
A5.
So this after leaving, this is how after. Many additional days did it take?
This is add-on days, yes.
Yeah, okay.
A5.
Yep.
B8, C14. A5, uh-huh. B8, C14.
Okay. C14, I feel like we're playing Battleship. All right.
You sunk my Battleship. You guys ready?
Chris, you ready?
I am ready.
All right, ready. Here we go. Let's go over these play. Answers. Question number one, I left Boston for the U.S. program in Michigan for my A, sophomore year, B, junior year, C, senior year. David Rothenberg.
I'm going to say A, sophomore year.
Christopher Canny.
I'm also going to go with A, sophomore year.
You guys are both incorrect. I left for my junior year.
No, it wasn't.
It was. It was for my junior year.
Rothenberg got into my head. Look, he got into my head.
Canty did go junior initially.
Oh, my gosh. Can't believe it. All right.
That's when I got in trouble making the erotic yes. bookmarks. Yeah,
yeah, we were
having a hard time with your reading assignment.
Continue. Question two
is tits your page.
What's the matter with you?
He's got problems, Dave. I don't know. Why.
They were beautiful bookmarks.
And my kids are going to have issues. were beautiful. Your kids won't.
They were beautiful bookmarks.
I'm sure. But these are leather bound
and stained.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number two. My grandfather on my dad's side appeared on which show? A, The Ed Sullivan Show, B, Candid Camera, or C, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Christopher Canny.
I'm going B, Candid Camera.
Candid Camera, and David. I know we're both right. You don't even need to give us the answer.
You guys are correct. Candid Camera.
Yep.
He was the human echo.
He could say what you were going to say before you would say it.
Dude, they call his nickname was the human echo. In any language. You pick the language. All right, question number three.
Is there any video of this, by the way?
I'm sure you can find it. Right. Google human echo on Candid Camera.
I have to watch that.
All right, here we go. Question number three. On my wedding night, I slept where? A, floor, B, shower, C, bed. David.
Shower.
Canty.
Floor, A.
David Rothenberg takes the lead.
Yes, he does.
It was the shower.
Yes, it was.
Damn it.
It was a rough night. All right, here we go. Canty, you need this. Going back, question four. Pete Such and I would occasionally do what in the neighborhood? A, click, B, toilet paper, C, ring and run.
I am going A, clicking, final answer.
David.
I agree, and if anybody ever did that to me, I would lose my mind.
You guys are both correct. We actually had one guy that broke his television. He picked it up and smashed it. Question number four. Question number five.
This is it.
I know, this is it right here. Dave with a one point lead going into the final question. It took me how many days to name Milo after leaving the hospital? A, 5 days, B, 8 days, C, 14 days.
I go, right?
You go.
I'm going to go B, 8 days.
Okay, I've got to go for a steal. I am going to go, I don't know, 5 days seems like a short period of time. Let's go 14 days, C.
David Rothenberg wins. It was 8 days.
I had to do something different.
I don't blame you for that, but that's victory. And you know what? Remember when I said I didn't care about winning? I lied. That was phenomenal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.